This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
FRJ Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia
and Justine Hughes,
as we break open the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and explore relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter and more reflective explanation of the Sunday Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influences, Father Rob Gallia Homilies.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hola, Pellegrinos, ¿cómo estás?
Welcome back to the Catholic Influencers podcast. We're coming to you live from a rainy Melbourne.
It's rainy. In the background, you might even hear the rain and there seems to be a truck.
There's like a fully sick car
happening.
There's a car with the engine. I just find it so annoying.
It is annoying. It's pretty, I think they're picking up the
rubbish.
Rubbish, yeah.
Potentially.
Possibly. Anyway, welcome to the noise of the ambience of Melbourne.
The wide jungle, wild jungle of Melbourne.
We're doing a lot of accents today.
We are.
I was just thinking, oh my gosh, you segued this so perfectly and I don't want to do it.
Guys, I want to know what is the best accent you can impersonate? And I'm handicapping Father Rob and I. It can't be Maltese.
Okay. Well, that's my accent, so I don't know.
I'm curious. Do people take a guess at where you're from?
They don't. They think I'm either South Africa or they think
I could say that.
French sometimes.
Or just a little bit confused.
A bit confused. They always... No, really, it's not a giveaway. Because my accent, my Maltese accent is not very strong. And so when I'm in Malta, they think I'm Australian. When I'm in Australia, they have no idea where I'm from.
But... Which accent can you impersonate best? Well,
you can do a lot.
I can
You're
do,
pretty good.
Yeah, but I can do an Australian accent.
All right, give it your best shot.
I have a phase, I always say. So you got to worship the Lord with all your heart. Give him everything.
What?
That was very good.
You sounded like Skippy the Kangaroo.
Skippy the Kangaroo. I had a plate of Skippy.
I sounded like Alyssa and Justine just then.
Alyssa?
I'm not doing it because I'm not good at accents, but I can acknowledge the people who are good at it. And I've seen Instagram reels or TikToks of people. It's like a phrase and it's a challenge to say them in like 20 different accents. And they do such a great job. Like Scottish and like the North English and South English, like they just do
some
such a great
really good
job.
At it. I can spot it. It's a musical thing as well, surely.
Well, it doesn't explain anything. I'm not good at it.
Because it's like I can't do an Irish accent to save my life. Like there's no way. Now you can hear. I think this is a
motorbike.
A motorbike or something.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the fun continues. Justine.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Oh gosh, now the pressure's on. I'm so nervous, guys.
Well, you're the one who brought it up.
I'm going to try and do an English accent.
Okay.
I was on the way here and I thought that I'd filled up my car, but I hadn't, and the petrol light went on and I was like, oh blimey, I've got to fill up my car. That was bad at that.
Could
was
totally
very
be
bad.
A Harry Potter. Like I can so
the Beaujolais.
The what?
The Beaujolais, the wine.
That was terrible. I apologize.
No, it was very good. I can see you in Harry Potter. That was excellent.
Dreams really do come true, guys.
Thank you for seeking the Lord with us today. If you long for more content and resources, check out our church online. FRG Ministries Church Online is where you will find ongoing spiritual nourishment and inspiration. Online Mass, prayer, rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, worship music, Eucharistic adoration, and so much more. You can even submit your prayer requests and commit to pray for others. FRG Ministry Church Online will inspire and deepen your love and understanding of Christ and His Church. Be blessed by FRG Ministries Church Online at frgministry.com/churchonline.
So as we prepare to open up this week's gospel, we might just start with a prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to explore your word and to listen to your voice. And I just want to lift up every single person who is listening to this, whether it's their first time listening to a podcast or their 1,000th time listening to the podcast. Lord, I just pray that you would reveal yourself to them in a new way and in the way that they need to hear you today. And we ask this through the intercession of our Mother Mary as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. Amazing. So this Sunday's Gospel is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." While they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
It's a story in Palestine.
About a wedding.
About a wedding.
But there's so many truths we can gain from this. But I think before we can get into that, it's basically, look, at its core, it's a story about Jesus talking to the disciples for us to make wise preparations to make sure that we are ready for the coming of Jesus.
Yes. But how would the disciples would have understood this story? Because they would have known inside out. Even till today, they practice weddings in this way. The bride and the groom get ready, they're betrothed.
Gosh, it's been a point of contention.
There was a podcast prior to this podcast in and of itself.
Betrothed. They're betrothed.
Betrothed.
Okay. And as they are betrothed, they're promised to each other. Maybe they've met each other. Maybe they never met each other. Maybe she knows who the groom is. Maybe she doesn't. And so what's
so this is weddings in first century Palestine.
No, till today.
Till today. Okay.
This happens till today in Palestine, especially mostly, I'd say, middle class. It would happen this way. And so what would happen is they would, as part of the dowry or whatever you call it, they would get a house. Or maybe it will be the backyard of someone. Maybe it will be. But important thing to note is that this house would have never been lived in by any of them. It's by the groom or the bride. And they're not. None of them were allowed before they got married. Allowed to enter in. So they have to wait. The groom goes in and then welcomes the bride. Once they're married. So where are we in the story now? What else happens? As they're sitting there, the bride is thinking, "Okay, I can't go into the house. I can't go home because I've been kicked out of home now. I'm betrothed, so I have no place to call home." So basically, she's on the streets. She has nowhere to go, so she has to wait for her groom.
Yeah.
So she's there.
So
on the
how
side.
Long, like realistically, could she be waiting for?
Well, she leaves her home the minute she's betrothed, and that is the time where the invitations are sent out. So it's imminent. They know it's imminent. So they're waiting. And so she has to basically wait on the road where the groom will be passing by to go to the house. Because she doesn't know the hour. She knows it's around now. He sent out the invitations, but sometimes it could take days. You know, from the time the invitation was sent out, and it wasn't sent out like through post, it was sent out by word of mouth.
Yeah, wow.
Get yourself ready for this.
I'm just thinking of your wedding.
I'm literally just about to say, I'm imagining myself in my wedding dress, like trying to keep my makeup on my face and my hair real nice for like 5 days.
Get that setting spray, baby.
I was over it after 12 hours.
Exactly. I don't know if they had makeup. I don't know.
Just go along with it.
Anyway, they're sitting there on the side of the road. So the bridesmaids keep her company. They want to keep her company because she's on the side of the road. They want to keep her safe. But also they want to they want to go to the wedding too. So they want to keep company.
Like they kind of sleep in the day, I guess, and then at night they're staying awake with these lamps. Yeah, is that
if
right?
If they have a suspicion that he's going to be late, they would sleep in the day rather than sleep at night.
Safer.
And it was a sight to see. You would see the bride and the bridesmaids asleep, and it was like the thing to see. If you ever saw one of those, look, everyone, the village would gather and say, look, there's a bride and
well,
the bridal party asleep. And so they would wait for the, and at night they of course they needed the lamps to stay awake and to make sure that the groom would see them, but also that they would know the way to the road to follow the groom. And the groom wouldn't even acknowledge the bride until he got to the house. So he would see them, and then he would continue walking, and they would walk behind him.
And this was like a huge feast, right? Like, so
yes, so this was
the groom would walk, the bride would walk with the bridesmaids, and the people would, like, as these people were kind of walking through the streets to get to the house, people would see them and they would come and give their best wishes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're all, everyone's waiting. Everyone knows that something big is about to happen. And so they go, and finally the groom arrives. Let's say he arrives at nighttime. There's no oil in. And so what Jesus is saying, that if you all have no oil, then you can't come. You can't make your way. You're useless, basically, to lighting the path. You're just a burden, in a sense. So make sure you're prepared. And so what would happen is they would follow the groom in, and then the door would be open, and they'd be married, and they'd meet each other. But their doors would be open for like 7-10 days, so for people to come in and eat, and they were treated like kings and queens, and it was just this huge party that would happen for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now, how do all of that story, how do we relate that to our lives? You know, like, what is the significance of us waiting? We're kicked out of our house. We're kicked out of heaven, in the sense we're born out of our mother's womb. We're here on earth. We're in this place, in the road, in the wilderness, waiting for fulfillment, waiting for heaven. We're on the side of the road and we're not the bride in this case. The church is the bride. We're attached to the bride, the church, mother church. And the light is, yes, could be good.
It could be a couple of things. I was just thinking it could be in light of Matthew's gospel, the good works. So good works that would flow naturally out of a relationship with Jesus. And why am I saying this? I'm going to back this up with a little bit of scripture from Matthew's gospel. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus compares good deeds to the light of a lamp that must shine before others. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And later on in the gospel, he talks about people who call him Lord but fail to do the will of the Father. And Jesus' ultimate response to them is, I never knew you. And this is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. And so if we compare these kind of phrases to what Jesus uses in this passage that we're talking about, you can see they're kind of similar. That's how you can come to the conclusion that the oil could be likened to the good works that flow from our relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think another analogy you could use, like similarly to this one, is that of a marathon runner, I guess, to kind of make a similar point. You know, when it comes to running, I don't do a lot of it. I don't enjoy. My max is like 3.5 kilometers and that's about it.
That's really good. Yeah, I can't run 3.5 kilometers.
Marathon is like, what, 40?
21.
That's half. That's half marathon. Oh, so it's like 42 Ks. You can't just be a me and just get off, you know, up off your couch one day and say, I'm going to run 42 Ks today. Like, no, you're not. Yeah. You're going to die, Justine. Like, don't be stupid. You know, you don't just go from your couch and get up and do, you know, the full run. You start small, you know, and every day you do the little things. You build the little strengths. You make the little milestones that you reach every day to work up towards the big day, that marathon day that is your goal. You know, mm-hmm. that's the aim. And you do all that you can. You eat well. You train well. You stay committed. You stay disciplined. You stay on track to build up the skills and the habits that will really become really, really helpful when they're required most, which is on the day.
So, so it's, in other words, like, be prepared.
Be prepared. That's right. And the thing is, you can't borrow someone else's training, unfortunately. Yeah. I've tried that. You know, you can't run a marathon based on someone else's
endurance.
6 months of training that you haven't done. You can't. And so that's kind of where the oil comes in, where sometimes we think, gosh, that was harsh. Yes. Like the wise virgin say, like, no, you, to the foolish one, no, you can't have it. It's not because they were being harsh, but if we were to use this as the analogy, you can't borrow what someone else's faith. You can't get to heaven on someone else's salvation. You can't piggyback ride on someone else, you know, up the path towards heaven. It's got to be your own.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, like, someone else can inspire you in that. Like, if we're going to use this marathon analogy, say you've started to run this marathon and you've put in a lot of training, but then, like, you hit this this roadblock, I guess, and then someone's like, hey, mate, no, like, I think you should keep going and I'm going to walk with you. Let's do that together. We can liken that to our faith as well. You know, we start off strong. We're, like, so into our faith. We want to learn everything we can about Jesus, spend as much time with him as possible, learn about the church, learn about all these different things. And then we hit this moment of suffering in our life or something where it feels like, oh my gosh, I can't keep going on with this. But then it's those around us who are like, hey, no, you need to keep going and this is great. So I think, yeah, your commitment needs to be your own. The others can inspire you, but at the end of the day, it needs to be you.
Yeah, the essential part of community. How important is it and how foolish it is for you to think that, hey, I can be a Christian at home by myself. I don't need the church. That's not how it works. And that's not how God invites us. He invites us as a community, as a believing community, to be attached to the bride, which is the church. And then the bride and the groom arrives. They walk towards the groom. And who is the groom? Jesus, you know, the second coming of Christ, that when he calls us into heaven, into the banquet. And here's the reality. He says here clearly that some won't make it because they're not prepared, because they think that they can borrow someone else. I'm going to get to heaven because my uncle's a priest. No. I mean, that's not how it works. We have to have the oil in our own lamps, the good works that we do, the love that we have for others, our dependence on the Holy Spirit and our relationship with Jesus Christ.
I was just thinking, like, the whole point of this story is to stay awake because we don't know when Jesus is coming. But what does that mean practically for our lives now? I was just thinking, if there's sin in our lives that we haven't repented of, now is the time to do that, not later. If, you know, we feel like God's calling us to this particular mission and we're saying no, or now is the time to be doing that. And maybe you might be someone, I'll just live my life now and take my faith seriously when I'm older. I'll be one of those little old ladies, God love them, who go to daily mass. Like, I'll just do it when I'm older. No, you don't know if Jesus is coming today, tomorrow. Now is the time to do it.
Exactly.
And I think there's just so much more in store than living in fear of when the end times is going to be. There is so much more to faith that is going to bring you life, joy, meaning. Yeah, there'll be suffering, but there'll be meaning from that suffering. Absolutely. And you won't be like, there is so much of that available to us every day. So, like, I know we've said it a few times, and this scripture is a great reminder of our salvation. And we can't take that for granted. But gosh, God has such beauty. Like, God has a great plan for you today. Why would you want to wait? You know, run close to him. You know, run back to him today. You know, stay close to his heart today. Yeah, I think that should be our motivation more than just, oh gosh, I'm not going to go to heaven. Like, I hope he doesn't lock me out. Like, okay, yeah, we have to be in, you know, fear and trembling is not necessarily always a bad thing, but yeah, no, I reckon there's a lot of goodness that God wants to speak to you today.
I was just thinking as you were saying that too, like, I think back to when I was younger, faith wasn't something that was particularly central in my life. But when it did become that, I was thinking, gosh, I wish I had this ages ago. So again, now is the time.
So this urgency to be ready, to be prepared. But again, it's a joyful experience. Even the waiting was joyful. They were excited. They were ready. They were with their friends. They were trying to stay awake. And it would have been fun. It's a joyful journey. It's not a scary journey. But just because it's joyful and just because it's an exciting journey doesn't mean you are not prepared. It doesn't mean that you don't realize the weight of this wait. You know? Excuse the pun.
Been so wordy today. Say it. What's the word?
Wait.
No, the B word.
Betrothal. Betrothal.
Betrothal.
Just to clarify, Father Rob thought it was, what is it? Betrothal?
No, I think it's not betrothal. I think it's betrothal.
Betrothal or betrothal? That was the argument.
Let us know. Moses' chair. The chair of Moses.
No, Moses' chair.
Gosh, okay. Whatever.
Sponsors, save us.
We'll speak. We'll figure it out. You let us know. Tell us, because we listen to you. The listeners. We'll go by what you say.
This production would not be possible without the support of our FRG ministry partners and donors. Your ongoing support ensures that our online masses, online courses, podcasts, TV programs, school youth and parish outreaches continue to reach millions of people across the world. Please prayerfully consider giving a one-off donation or becoming an ongoing ministry partner. And join us in our mission to share the love of Jesus and his message of hope to the ends of the earth. Find out more at frgministry.com/donate.
What do we have for this week? Again, you guys are sending in some amazing questions. I've done a little tweaking to this one just to generalize it a little bit more and include even more of a power packed punch. The question is,
punch me.
Can a Catholic practice and use some psychological techniques from other philosophical traditions? For example, Stoicism, yoga, mindfulness, etc., etc.
Ooh.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Well, this, I think what things that we need to understand is that Jesus is the center, always, always. Mm. So this is, before we say anything else, that Jesus is the center, but there are ways we can get to Jesus, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sometimes we make our lives more, if thinking we're going to make our lives easier, we actually make it more difficult. We go through roads and we go through side roads and we realize, we think this is going to be a shortcut, but it's actually longer. So Jesus mm-hmm. gives us the clear and short way through the church, through the praxis of the church, through the prayer methods of the church. Having said this, let's explore, maybe let's try and understand a little bit about, let's take three or four of these things and maybe try and understand them a little bit and cool. And go maybe like a case study type of thing.
Yeah, I think we can focus on this one called Stoicism, but these philosophical schools of thought can be likened to something like Confucianism. Like, that's a Chinese system developed by Confucius. I don't know if you've heard Confucius since. Yes. Like, mm-hmm. And that basically talks about, where is it? The cultivation of moral virtues, like social harmony, proper conduct in personal, societal life. There's other things like rationalism, pragmatism, existentialism. But maybe we can talk a bit more about Stoicism, what this one is. This school of thought emphasizes like a cultivation of wisdom, courage, self-control, resilience amidst the challenges that we face in our life. So it kind of like focuses on this thing of you focus on the things that you can control, accept the things that you can't, and keep your peace through all of that by being rational and virtuous.
And there's also this thing, I don't know if it falls into Stoicism. I didn't know much about Stoicism, but it's about this manifesting. You know, I manifest an empty seat on an airplane. I manifest.
Yeah, I see that all the time. Yeah,
so I manifest that I'm going to be rich, and I imagine it, and it manifests.
Yeah. What's this? There's another one that's like, I think, therefore I am. I can't remember which one it is.
That is Descartes, is a famous philosopher. I think, therefore I am. That's his famous thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's manifest.
And a lot of like famous philosophers kind of fall, like, are known for like these.
Yeah, yeah.
Things.
But in all of this, again, it's not about us manifesting. It's about Jesus providing. Amen. It's about us trusting God. And it's not about even the manifestation itself. It's about God providing for what we need and finding peace even when he doesn't provide.
What if Jesus doesn't want you to have a spare seat on the plane? Yeah. You know, like, maybe there's a lesson yes. to be learned there.
Like, I was just thinking, even saying, like, you know, keeping your peace amidst the challenges of life, like, I think of that as perseverance in faith, even through difficult times. And
mm-hmm. and I'm all about like being positive, you know. Mm. I manifest, and in a sense, I strive for excellence. I strive for helping others. I strive to have enough money to provide for my family. These are all great things. And so, but understand that it is not your mind that is manifesting these things. It is God who is the provider, God who is the giver. The minute it becomes about us becoming the power that manifests these things, this is where it becomes. Even accepting things in this world, accepting what make sure it's not the universe that's giving us, but accepting the will of God in our life, trusting God's providence in our life and the lack of it as well.
Yeah, and I think that's perhaps where it gets a little bit tricky and sticky, is that for a lot of these philosophies and spiritualities, which is a word like that I think is thrown around, it may seem really harmless on the surface. Like, these sound like and seem like really good things to want and to go after. But I think that sometimes it can be a wolf dressed in sheepskin, you know, that once you chip the surface a little bit or you go too far in, you actually are exposing yourself to things that are not Christian.
Yeah.
And I think, as you said earlier, Father, like, if it's drawing, if what is it pointing to? Who is it pointing to? If it's pointing to yourself, then you're making a God out of yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, all our Christian Catholic practices are pointed to God, because we know that it's a bit of a dead end if I'm pointing to me. And so when I heard this question for the first time, it's a great question to ask. Yes. So thank you so much for asking it. And it actually gave me an opportunity to really think, gosh, if someone bumped into me on the street and asked me this, what would I say? And the first thing I would say is, in the nicest way possible, why would you want to dabble with other things when we actually have Jesus?
Yeah.
We've got the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. We've got the giver of peace, which a lot of these spiritualities and philosophies are looking for peace and freedom. Well, he is peace, and he gives freedom. And he is, if you want to grow in self-discipline, gosh, like, let the Lord refine your character. It's all in it. And I think the second thing I would say is, why would you want to dabble in those things when we have such a rich tradition in our Catholic Church of, contemplation, of reflection, of even, examination of conscience, of the confession.
Just to try and understand, like, examine of conscience. Or examination of consciousness, what is that? Like, if they wanted to do that?
Yeah, well, firstly, you can Google it. It's really good. But essentially, you just go over your day. So you could do this practice whenever you want, but usually you do it once a day at the end of the day. And it's a series of questions that you ask yourself to sort of reflect on how your day went. You know, where was God in your day? Did I make room for God today or did I not? Was there anything that I fell short in? You know, is there... Are there any ways
So in fact, an Ignatian practice as well. The point is, like, how amazing it is to reflect on our day and to reflect on how I responded to grace and how I moved away from grace with this stoicism, how I was accepting to the will of God and not to the will of God. So the church has all of this, everything I think that stoicism has to offer, but more directed and closely in its praxis to guide us to the same mindset, and that is ultimately this peace and joy that only Jesus can give.
I was just going to say that some of these techniques can seem like they are compatible with Catholicism, and on the surface they probably are. They just maybe don't go to that level that we can go to in our faith. And again, just if you are using this, just to be really cautious and discerning of, am I making a God out of this?
Yep, and I'm going to go there, right?
Great, go there.
I'm going to say the word yoga, okay? Because I know this is hotly debated in Catholic circles, and I'm sure in Christian circles. Like, can we do yoga? Is there anything wrong with yoga? Do you guys have any wisdom on that?
Well, I would say this. If I would start with the same thing, why? Mm-hmm. Why do you need to have yoga? Yes. These are Buddhist practices, or I don't even know if it's originally from Buddhism, but it's a practice which is not a Christian practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a practice that which uses, but you think, I'm just stretching, I'm not doing the meditation part. Certainly don't do the meditation parts, because those are meditating to yourself, meditating to spirits, ultimately it can be meditating to demons. Just don't go there. If you've gone that far, back off, back off. But also, you're stepping into the door of another religion, something that is not God. And Jesus, that's the one of the commandments. You shall have the Lord your God and have only God, and do not have any false gods. And so this is what we're doing. And you think the stretches, I'm just doing stretching. But what ultimately are those stretches? They're postures of worship to particular gods, ultimately to particular demons. I just would stay away from it if you at all could.
And there's plenty of other stretches that you can do. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Pilates is all right. But just general stretches, like, you can do plenty of other things. Quick funny story, my mom, she goes to the gym, bless her. She's great, does her weights and her classes and takes my dad along. But the other day there was a brand new class and it had this weird title. It wasn't yoga, it was some other title. And she's like, oh, great, new class. I've got the membership.
That's the accent. There it is.
So she goes to this class. She's like, it was me and three others. And so she's doing this class. And then she said, but then they started bowing. And she's like, oh, no. And so she's like, she didn't know. She's stuck here. So every time they bowed, my mom said, Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you alone and no one else. So she didn't mean to be there, but she thought, well, may as well bow to the Lord Jesus Christ.
She's worshiping. Oh,
I love my mom. Oh my gosh. She's a little evangelist, my mom.
She should have done it really loud.
Yeah, she totally would have made it very so obvious good. That she would not ever worship any other God. So you might accidentally find yourself in a situation like yeah. that.
And there's also like the beautiful practice of contemplation as well, which mm-hmm. is now there's a fashion as well, or in the 1970s onwards, sort of for this mindfulness. Mindfulness is good. Breathing is good. It's good for your brain. It's actually, I'm happy to endorse that. I myself breathe and make sure I do conscious breathing. But at the end of the day, it's not just the breath. One of the greatest alternatives I found to the breath of the breath and the mindfulness. First of all, be careful that it is not yourself. Okay, that you're not doing mindfulness and you're not allowing silly practices like letting your spirit leave your body and mm-hmm. this is ultimately very dangerous but let's not go into all of that. But one of the most beautiful things I do of mindfulness is I breathe in and I say the word I love you, and I breathe out and I say I love you. And when I breathe in, I imagine Jesus telling me, Rob, Father Rob, I love you. And then I respond with an exhale and say, Jesus, I love you. And it's just the breathing in. Every time I breathe in the love of God, and I exhale my sinfulness, my brokenness, and my surrender to the Lord. And so it becomes a conversation. I'm fully aware that I'm in a conversation mm-hmm. with Jesus, mm-hmm. Even though my brain is resting and my mind is resting. So there are words we can say, Maranatha, which is come, Lord Jesus. But just again, we have such beautiful times like adoration, you know, go yeah. in front of the Blessed Sacrament and worship Jesus, breathe in the gold dust, the presence of God, and mm-hmm. exhale his presence as well. There are so many wonderful gifts and so many more direct and powerful gifts that the church has given us.
That's a wonderful way to finish off this episode. Thank you for your questions. If you do have questions you'd like us to get to, send them through to us, podcast@frgministry.com. Once again, our Advent retreat, these three gifts, all those details on how you can be part of that are at frgministry.com/events. Social media, share this podcast around. You can share it with your friends on social media. We are on every platform. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. All those links are at our website, catholicinfluencerspodcast.com.
I'm going to give my mum some Catholic Influencer stickers to give out for her gym friends.
I love that. You always have the best ending.
And don't forget to share it with other people. Tell someone, recommend this podcast to someone. It'll bless them and also put us up in the ratings so that we can reach more people.
Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you and catch you later.
God bless.
Bye now.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.